Hello and welcome to the F1 Strategy Report for 2020. My name's Michael Laminato and this is a recap of the 2019 Belgian and Italian Grand Prix. For Apex Race Manager, the mobile race management simulator, Charles Leclerc dominated qualifying for the 2019 Belgian Grand Prix to lead a Ferrari front row lockout thanks to its class-leading engine. But the SF90 had struggled so far that season with race pace, setting up a titanic battle with the Mercedes cars starting from the second row. Sebastian Vettel couldn't live with Leclerc in the race, and in a rare moment of strategic clarity, Ferrari wasted little time deploying him in the rear gunner role. He was stopped early to act as a roadblock for Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas in the second stint to protect his teammate's lead. The strategy worked, but only just. Hamilton took too long to get past the second Ferrari and ended up just 0.9 seconds shy of Leclerc in the Monégasque's maiden F1 win. I debriefed the race with BBC F1 commentator Jack Nicholls. It's interesting, considering Ferrari's one lap pace, how dramatic the long run pace really turned against them, essentially. And I guess this speaks to the idea that they really are all engine and not much else. And so we leapt into this race on Sunday, not knowing how it was going to end and not knowing how we were going to get to whatever ending we were going to get. It ended up being a fairly straightforward one-stop strategy, but how it was achieved is what was particularly interesting. Sebastian Vettel, he sort of lacked the pace of Charles Leclerc. And in that first stint, he wasn't really anywhere near him. While he was keeping ahead of the Mercedes drivers, he wasn't able to build that gap Leclerc was doing. And suddenly there was this moment where we thought that maybe Mercedes was going to try to undercut him. In the end, Ferrari preempted it and it didn't even happen. And that sort of was the first decisive moment of this race because it put Vettel on a completely different strategy, or a fairly different strategy, I should say, to the rest of the front runners.
Yeah, well, Vettel didn't have the pace, as you say, and it's relatively easy to overtake at Spa in the grand scheme of, you know, F1 race circuits. And Hamilton was close. He was within DRS range, and although he got the DRS and couldn't make the overtake, it was clear that he was within a second, so the undercut was a very, very large possibility. So Mercedes was sort of getting ready, and Ferrari thought, well, we have to cover this off, because if we don't, Hamilton's through. So I think that's what would have happened, is that Mercedes were getting ready to bring Hamilton in to try the undercut, and it would have been the classic do the opposite of what the car in front of you does. If Vettel doesn't come in, we pit and undercut him. If Vettel does stay in, then we stay out. And Ferrari reacted really, I think, in the only way they could have done, I suppose, with the threat of Mercedes there. They had to try and cover Hamilton off and keep track position, so they pitted Vettel, which was the right thing to do.
The first couple of laps of Vettel's second stint kind of proved key to how the battle for the lead unfolded, because he was keen to get back into that pit stop window of his teammate Charles Leclerc, pushed very hard early on the medium tyre. That would come back to bite him a little bit later on. It confined him onto that two-stop strategy. But then we had this tension because Mercedes very clearly set all of their eyes back onto Leclerc. But Leclerc was the one who stopped first rather than Hamilton, who was chasing. I suppose Hamilton was a little bit out of undercut range, but as we saw from not only Vettel's improved pace on those mediums, but even some of the midfield cars, new tyres were very effective at the start of the second stint. Are you surprised that Mercedes didn't pull that trigger first?
I don't think Mercedes are hugely making a big difference if they stop before Ferrari. If anything, they're just sort of giving Ferrari all the options. You know, if they pit Hamilton, then Leclerc can either go long or Leclerc. So I think it was the sort of right-ish decision to let them make the move. And also, it turned out in the end of the Grand Prix, Hamilton, okay, there were only like one lap fresher tyres, but that seemed to make quite a big difference come the end.
I think what we can call the decisive moment of the race were the four laps at which point Hamilton caught up to the back of Sebastian Vettel. After Vettel had waved Leclerc past, as per team orders, given they were on different strategies, Vettel did a good job of being, dare we say it, the number two driver and holding Hamilton up.
Yeah, Vettel's come out and sort of said, yeah, I tried to do that for Charles, to give Charles a bit. Surely he's doing it for his own race. I don't think he's doing that for the team and for the greater good. I mean, he's doing that to try and stay ahead of Lewis Hamilton and try and keep him at bay. And if he hadn't made a mistake, and I think it was into Stavolo, the first Stavolo, he went in too deep. That meant Hamilton was super close and got the slipstream all the way to the bus stop. And therefore, he was close enough coming out of La Source that the DRS, plus being like right under his rear wing, was enough to give him the slipstream. Because before then, if Hamilton's 7 or 8 tenths away, that's no worries for Vettel. He had it. I think it was Vettel's tiny mistake at Stavolo 1 that meant half a lap later, Hamilton was able to get through. I don't think Vettel was, you know, playing the wingman role there. I think that's a convenient, you know, reason or, you know, explanation. But I think he was just trying to keep second place, quite frankly. And yeah, okay, that, you know, that helped and gave Leclerc a bit of breathing space. But I don't think Vettel was particularly, you know, sacrificed for it.
I guess when you're in this battle in the front runners, given that one Red Bull Racing car was essentially stuck in the midfield, did rise to fifth by the end of the race, but was battling in the midfield, and Max Verstappen didn't even make it a lap. Realistically, you're only gambling with a minimum finish of fourth place, which is what he got in the end, even when he switched to a set of soft tyres towards the end of the race when his mediums really had gone. I guess you can afford to gamble when you're only going to really lose 1 to 2 places.
Well, this was the thing. It's similar to Hamilton in Budapest, isn't it? Where no one else is anywhere near you. You can't get past Verstappen on track, so you just might as well pit. And that's the, you know, that's the odd thing we've seen with the fastest lap point, for example, is that it's whichever is the whoever's in last place in the of the front runners of Red Bull, Mercedes or Ferrari will get the fastest lap because they'll be far enough ahead to have a free pit stop. They have a free pit stop. They get the fastest lap. So that is fortunate that no one else was anywhere near them to be able to sort of give that strategy a go. Because if you had the other Red Bulls there, if you had the Red Bulls there, actually, now I think about it, you're right. Like, that would have been really, really costly for Vettel. But in the end, it doesn't look too bad. He finishes fourth, his teammate's first, he's behind the two Mercedes, fine. But if the Red Bulls are in there and they're looking after their tyres okay and have some reasonable race pace, which they appeared to do on Friday, then suddenly Vettel's finishing sixth or something in a world of pain. So I think he's kind of got away with yesterday a little bit.
Yeah, with having a bit of an average race. Sometimes I feel bad. I keep saying another and emphasizing it. But okay, yeah. It kind of was another. It led to this great final chase, almost second race in a row, I suppose, considering this was how Hamilton pinched the win in Budapest. Didn't quite manage it here. I suppose in the end, it did come back down to that Ferrari straight line speed, meaning it was so hard to get an opportunity into any braking zone after a long stretch of a straight. At the following Italian Grand Prix, Leclerc took another pole, but it was controversial. He was seemingly willingly caught up in a gaggle of cars trying to slipstream each other for the final lap in Q3, and as a result, he didn't give teammate Vettel the agreed slipstream that could have handed the German pole. Vettel was furious, which perhaps precipitated another early race spin on Sunday, leaving Leclerc in the lead but defenceless against the pursuing Mercedes cars. But Ferrari played its single strategic hand excellently. Leclerc was one of the few drivers to use the hard tyre during practice, and at his sole stop he switched from soft to hard when Mercedes used the medium. It proved decisive in helping him to a hard-fought second straight win after Hamilton and then Bottas ran out of tyre life at the end of the race. It was Ferrari's first home win in almost a decade, and I caught up with Luca Manacorda to debrief the race.
Yeah, it's a miracle. Finally, we can talk about a Ferrari win after many years.
Qualifying was particularly interesting this weekend. Charles Leclerc started from pole, but without Sebastian Vettel alongside him. Sebastian Vettel qualified fourth, the Mercedes drivers were in between them, and suddenly we had a 2-1 race for Mercedes. And considering the way that Belgium panned out, where Mercedes was the faster car in the race, this was kind of bad news. Things were indeed made worse for Ferrari on lap 6 when Sebastian Vettel spun the Ascari chicane, got himself a 10-second stop-go penalty. That meant he could play no role in this race as far as Charles Leclerc was concerned. There was no way for him to hold up the Mercedes driver after they pitted, for example. But Ferrari did actually have, and this is where we start to talk about that miracle aspect of this race, a secret weapon, a bit of secret knowledge up their sleeve, because they were one of only 4 teams to do any serious running on the hard tyre. And I guess this is because in Belgium, you know, Charles Leclerc towards the end of the race was running out of tyres, and there was an active decision that they needed to do something different.
Yeah, it's strange, but a key role about the Ferrari strategy has been played by Vettel, because after his spun, he came back to the pit lane to change his tyres, and with hard tyres, he gave a lot of information to the team. And I think that has been a key factor for the strategy and for the race of Ferrari. And as we've seen from Mercedes, has tried to put the medium tires, but even if they have a car that is very suits very good with the Spirit, this 2019 Pirelli, we had some problems in the last laps as Ferrari in the 2018 race. So this time Ferrari has done everything in the right way.
The key moment of this race was always going to be that first pit stop, wasn't it? Because in Belgium, the timing of that stop is what meant Hamilton couldn't catch Charles Leclerc. And we saw it again, didn't we? From lap 16, Mercedes mechanics in the pit lane, they were really trying to push Ferrari to stop early again.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that Ferrari knows that they had a little advantage on the single lap to evitate the undercut. So they've been not scared when the Mercedes mechanics went on the pit lane.
We saw in the end that Mercedes were unable to trick Ferrari into stopping earlier than they wanted. They ended up pulling that undercut, like you said. Ferrari responded one lap later. Hamilton stopped on lap 19 for mediums, Leclerc on lap 20 for hards. But it was still a little bit of a risk, wasn't it? Because the hard tyre, while it lasted longer, the warm-up became a little bit of a factor, didn't it? We saw early in that stint that Hamilton was able to really push him.
Yeah, one key factor could be the top speed, because maybe also this thing had give a little of confidence to Ferrari, because even if Hamilton passed Leclerc, they could hope in an overtake thanks to the top speed of the Ferraris of this year.
And it all came down fundamentally to Leclerc being able to keep it tidy, really, keep it clean out of the very few key braking zones and parabolica as well, because a good exit through there meant that Hamilton wasn't able to try and move on the brakes into the first chicane. But we did see how close a margin it was, didn't we? There were a couple of times where Hamilton got close. Of course, there was then that famous push, let's say, if we can call it that, or Leclerc running Hamilton off the road into the second chicane. This has become pretty controversial, hasn't it? Because if you're a Mercedes fan, if you're a Lewis Hamilton fan, this was the moment maybe that he should have been able to pass Leclerc. Leclerc was shown a black and white flag. What was your take on that move?
Yeah, that was a very, very hot moment. And I don't know if the truth is what Toto Wolff said after the race. So the steward didn't want to have a replay of Canada because this could be dangerous for them and for Formula One because the race was in Italy. We know that stewards have changed the rules, the way they judged these episodes after that race, and I think they've taken the right choose in this case, because it was at the limit. But if we want to see a race and drivers fight each other, this is the good way, the right way to judge this situation.
And eventually we saw by around lap 40, Hamilton's tyres were finished. And then suddenly Valtteri Bottas came into play. It was a deliberate strategy from Mercedes to give Bottas an offset. They felt it was the only other strategy they had. They'd hoped, though, that when he came to put pressure on Leclerc, Hamilton would already be in the lead. Instead, he passed Hamilton for second place and then had 10 laps to use those tyres, fresher tyres. He got close, though, I guess, but the fact that he kept locking up, it really showed that top speed advantage that he was trying to negate by getting a really good exit from the chicanes and from parabolica was just too much for Mercedes.
I think that in that situation, we have seen the difference between Hamilton and Bottas. Bottas had an advantage by the fresh tires, but he couldn't do a real attack to Leclerc. Instead, that Lewis has been always behind Charles until his tires were good. So This is the typical situation where we saw the difference between a five-time world champion like Lewis and a good driver like Valtteri.
That's what happened in 2019. But what should we expect in 2020? Both Spa-Francorchamps and Monza are power circuits. Spa in a similar vein to Silverstone and Monza out and out low downforce. Unsurprisingly, both will therefore advantage Mercedes comfortably with the quickest engine. Pirelli's decision to bring the middle compounds to both races might yet trip up Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas in the same way those same tyres did at Silverstone 2. For Belgium, this is a step softer than last year, but cooler weather will ameliorate any blistering problems. And as Barcelona suggested, Mercedes is more or less on top of those issues anyway. So if Red Bull Racing wants a look in at a race win, the third Grand Prix of this upcoming trio at Mugello might be its best chance. Mugello will be super fast, but also super demanding on tyres. The hardest compounds have been selected, but warm Tuscan weather combined with those rapid bends could present the sport with a real curveball, which will be welcome given this track will be difficult to overtake around. I'll be back over the next 3 weeks to analyse all the action from Belgium and Italy in what should be a fascinating three races. Until then, you can subscribe to The Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcast, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter for our regular pre-race strategy guides. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you next week for a review of the Belgian Grand Prix.